Andrew Keen is a Silicon Valley entrepreneur. He's also the author of a book called The Cult of the Amateur, How Today's Internet is Killing Our Culture.
The subtitle of my book is perhaps a rather vulgar exaggeration in the sense that the subtitle of the book says, How Today's Internet is Killing Our Culture. But of course, Web 2.0 is us. So today's internet is us. So we're killing our culture.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about the Web 2.0 revolution, the internet today, MySpace, YouTube, Wikipedia, and so on and so forth, is that it's a mirror. When we look at it, we're looking at ourselves. And when I see it, I'm disturbed and disappointed.
The big difference, it seems to me, between then and now, if you will, and the internet reflects this, is that it is so much easier to get information out. It isn't as though there wasn't always misinformation available.
The problem is there's two things going on in parallel, and these things are causally connected, although it's hard to argue that one necessarily causes the other. On the one hand, we have the rise of user-generated media, the Web 2.0 revolution. And on the other hand, we have an economic and in some senses, I think, a cultural crisis of mainstream media. Fewer and fewer people are reading newspapers, listening to the radio. The music business is in free fall. The television business is in crisis, although in my view, that's not necessarily a bad thing. So what is happening is that the old institutions, the old edifices of mainstream culture, the things that we relied on for our information, are going away. And all that is left is user-generated content. Now, I think it would be unfair to argue that user-generated content is killing mainstream media, but the rise of one and the fall of another are intimately bound up with one another.
Well, there are a lot of people who would say that the mainstream media deserves this, that it's corrupt, it's gotten lazy, a lot of what you see and hear and read in the mainstream media isn't worth seeing or hearing or reading, and so the opportunity for bright, energetic people to come in and make it more honest, more wise, if you will, makes sense. I gather that you're having a hard time not laughing as I'm saying that.
We're at the Judy Miller moment in the interview, aren't we, where you tell me about Judy Miller as this corrupt New York Times journalist, and I'm supposed to say, well, not all journalists are like that. You don't, quite frankly, sound, I mean, I don't know you that well, but you don't sound either lazy or incompetent.
Well, I don't feel lazy or incompetent, and I think, in fact, you know, radio is still doing pretty well if you look at what's going on, although...
Well, in economic terms, is it doing well? I mean, are more and more, is it easier and easier to actually make money? I think the thing about mainstream media is that there's a broader cultural context to this. We, for one reason or another, and these are broad sort of sociocultural phenomenon, we don't trust authorities anymore. We don't trust people in power. So just as we increasingly are skeptical of politicians, people who hold political power, so I think we've become increasingly skeptical of people who hold cultural power, whether it's in Hollywood, at the record labels, at the newspapers. We tend to use any excuse, a Judy Miller excuse, one rotten apple in a huge barrel of high-quality apples to argue that everything's wrong. And the reality, I think, whether it's radio or newspapers, even the music business. The reality is that the majority of professional journalists and professional media people do an honest and competent job. They're trained, they're serious, and they bring significant value to our culture.
I'm obviously not going to argue with you on this subject.
You should tell me I'm wrong. I mean, the funny thing is that, and there's, a curious irony to this, is that I'm not a mainstream media guy. You know, I'm a Silicon Valley entrepreneur, but my book is the first attempt to actually defend mainstream media. And a lot of mainstream media people have come up to me and said, we really agree with what you're saying. But because I think of the broader cultural context, it's very hard for mainstream media people to stick up for themselves. And one of the lessons in my book, one of the things that I want to tell mainstream media people is they need to be more authoritative. They need to explain to people the value they bring. They shouldn't be as apologetic as I think they've become.
Let's talk about the online collaborative encyclopedia, Wikipedia. You've got mixed feelings about it, right?
Mixed feelings are fair. I'm not a complete Wikipedia basher. I've debated Jimmy Wales in San Francisco a couple of weeks ago, and I said to him, if you were willing to force your users to reveal who they are in terms of their anonymity, to pare the veil away, to reveal themselves, then I think that Wikipedia becomes a much more viable resource. I also think that Wikipedia needs to be monetized. I think that the contributors on it should be paid for their content. I'm not in favor of experts giving away their content. Wikipedia has a lot of potential. I have to admit that I use it myself, even if I'm a critic. It's a good first stop. The problem, my concern, in the Web 2.0 age is that in an age where people are less and less media literate, less and less able to discriminate between different kinds of media, less and less skeptical, they're more and more reliant on Wikipedia. So it's fine for my generation that has been brought up in Britannica and knows the difference between an expert-created piece of content and something on Wikipedia. It's not fine for this latest generation.
So your biggest complaint about Wikipedia is that it is produced largely by amateurs rather than professionals.
My biggest complaint with Wikipedia is it's produced by people who I don't know who they are. It's produced by anonymous people. All knowledge has cultural, social context. There's no such thing, as we all know, as absolute truth. All knowledge creators come with cultural and socioeconomic baggage. If you are media literate, you have to understand who those people are, and you take that into account. The problem with Wikipedia is when I look at an entry on, I don't know, Andrew Keen, for example, I don't know who is contributing to it. I have no idea of those people, so I have no idea of critically, skeptically evaluating the quality of the content. The thing about Wikipedia is that people aren't actually doing their research. They're simply believing without critical sort of evaluation what other people are saying. But I mean, the entry on Andrew Keen is neither here nor there. What's really interesting on Wikipedia, and this again explains its weakness, is that there's no one in control. No one is making a distinction between important subjects and at best marginal or footnoted subjects. When you go to Wikipedia, the entry on Stephen Colbert's joke, his notion of truthiness, which is a funny joke about sort of the relativized knowledge, and it's all part of his act as this radical right-wing TV pundit, is almost as long and as meticulously researched as the entry on truth, the core concept in the history of Western philosophy. When you don't have anyone in charge, when there's no central editor, when there's no one saying, well, look, truth is the core concept, the whole history of Western philosophy revolves around that, that deserves a very significant entry in a lot of work, versus truthiness, which is a footnote to a reasonably popular early 21st century television comedian, then nobody really knows how to evaluate the importance of information.
Yeah, I guess what happened is at the beginning of Web 2.0, there were a lot of people who felt that there were too many authoritative figures who were deciding what it was that we were allowed to know, and this was an opportunity to share knowledge. You're suggesting that we need some oversight. And yet, it comes back to the question of who decides, doesn't it?
It comes back to the question of who decides, which is ultimately an age-old question. Again, it's a question that philosophers have been arguing about for 2,000 or 3,000 years. The problem, I think, with that is it's a legitimate question and a very interesting question. I acknowledge that. But the problem is that it's a philosophical question and a political question. It's not a question that should be wrecking media. So sure, discuss it. But the purpose of media is as a vehicle for the distribution of reliable information and high-quality entertainment. Yeah. The problem with the Web 2.0 movement is they're treating media as an engineering tool for righting socioeconomic wrongs, and that's a mistake. Media becomes the victim of this latest version of creating a perfectly fair playing field in terms of our opportunity. It becomes the experiment for building a perfect meritocracy, which in my view can never be done and will never be done.
So, I mean, we've talked about this. We've found the horrors of Web 2.0. What do we do? What do you think needs to be done to address the problems? Because the technology is not going away.
No, the technology is not going away. And the technology isn't necessarily bad. I think the first thing we need to remind ourselves is that we have created this technology. There's nothing inevitable about it. And if it really is creating forces that are bad for our culture, if it really is resulting in newspapers shutting down, and all we have to rely on are our own personal networks on Facebook, then that's a bad thing. Then we need to reevaluate newspapers. We need to perhaps think of them as museums or schools or parks. Think of them more as a social benefit. A couple of other things I think we need to remind ourselves about. We need to reevaluate or rethink this cultural assault on expertise and on authority. Because I think that at a certain point, we need to take a stand against it. It will infiltrate the classroom. It will infiltrate the university lecture hall. It will infiltrate the corporation, the enterprise. I think we need to remind ourselves that if you spend 20, 30, 40 years training to do something, then you're going to be better at it than the amateur. We have to fight against this cult of innocence, this idea that the less you know, the more you know, and that people who are trained, who are professionals, are somehow suspect, that they're corrupt or self-interested. The other thing, most of all, I think we need to remind ourselves, is that if something's good, we need to pay for it. Because if we don't pay for it, ultimately it will go away. You get what you pay for. And the free garbage on MySpace and YouTube and Wikipedia is what you pay for, which is nothing. So if we really care about newspapers or movies or books, we need to remind ourselves that we need to pay for those movies, newspapers, and books, because that is the way that the journalists and the filmmakers and the musicians get paid.
Andrew Keene is the author of The Cult of the Amateur, How Today's Internet is Killing Our Culture.